Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I love a guy mowing a bad lawn for somebody.
Guy that fixes all those terrible lawns is great.
And I didn't know I liked lawn mowing, but there's something about it.
Oh, I drive into a lot of neighborhoods. I've seen in the last year, like six lawn mowing things going on with camera people on them.
Yes. I mean, that makes perfect sense, right? This is like the everybody, if you find one thing that works, there'll be 100 people knocking it off and a week later and like, wow, there's way more money in camera based lawn mowing than lawn mowing for money. Let's all get into it. Let's do charity lawn mowing. And that's not the worst thing that's ever happened to the world. It's just weird.
He's back!
Dude, he's back! He's back!
He's back! He's back!
He's back! He's back!
Who's back?
Tim?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be back. I was out for a couple of weeks. We took a week off of now one kidney stone lighter than I was the last time I did this show. Thank you guys for filling in the week I was sick. But it sucks. I love doing the show, and I had to miss a couple of weeks. So thank you for the welcoming committee here, everybody. We have a guest this week. This week's guest is comedian and writer Alex Falcone. He is a sharp, hilarious voice with a knack for turning everyday absurdities into smart, relatable comedy. You may know him from his appearances on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Portlandia, his 2022 album called Vanilla, or his viral TikToks that brilliantly skewer internet culture. He'll be appearing at the Punchline in Atlanta on October 17th through the 19th. So, hey, everybody, please welcome Alex Falcone.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, there he is.
How's it going?
Well, welcome to the show. We look forward to you being at the Punchline. Let's say when those dates are again. You're going to be at the Punchline October 17th and the 19th, and people can get tickets at punchline.com. We're going to the 6 o'clock Saturday show because we're old, and the cake is better. Have you done the Punchline before?
No, it's my first time there.
Okay, cool. Where have you played before in Atlanta?
I was at Laughing Skull a couple years ago. Nice little place. So this is a much bigger room. You said the cake's good?
It's right next to a Greek diner. And so if you've ever been to a Greek diner, they have these gigantic slices of cake, and you can get pancakes while you're watching a comedian. So that's kind of cool as well.
Or matzo ball soup.
Or
matzo ball soup and pancakes during a comedy show is wild.
Yes.
I think the comics are only allowed to have chicken fingers, though.
Yeah. That's.
I'm ordering pancakes on stage. Like where some guys bring a shot. I'm like, somebody bring me a short stack while I'm up here.
Who ordered the pancakes? Do you want blueberry, chocolate, blueberry? Do you want bacon, sausage? We have everything.
Whoa, that's great. I didn't know that. But now I'm really excited.
You're a very funny stand-up comedian, and you're very gracious to do our show. We very much appreciate it. But how do you Oh my God. It's been a long week. I had a kidney stone a week ago, so my brain is trying to...
Oh, you and Dolly with kidney issues in the same week.
Oh, is that what her problem is? I saw her.
No, it was not stones, but it's kidney related. You still had kidney problems.
Yeah. I think it was stones, or I read it was stones.
Yeah,
it was. Because I would have given her a kidney if she needed.
Give her your good kidney.
She can have one that doesn't have a stone in it.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine. I'm not dead.
She looked great. I just saw her on CNN a few minutes ago.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad to hear that.
How did you achieve this viral TikTok thing? Because TikTok is, to me, is 50% really cool stuff. 25%, hey, remember when you were 10? And then the rest is just garbage. And
well, you're already putting yourself, by describing what your TikTok algorithm is, you're already taking a chance because all five of us see different stuff.
That's
so
true.
Like, if somebody says, like, oh man, there's a lot of trucks on TikTok today. I'm like, that's not everybody. We're seeing different stuff, you know.
That's true.
So we do see the fact that you're watching a lot of garbage might be a tell.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the thing that I always did with comedy, from when I started, my cowardly way to do stand up was, I was like, if I tell you something interesting, then even if it's not funny, no one's going to be mad at me. So all of my jokes start out with a good point or an interesting point, and then I add jokes on it. And it, so, like, because, like, if you watch somebody bomb for 5 minutes, but you've learned two things, no one's like, I'm out of here, and you flip over the table and storm out. And you're like, that was weird. But if you're talking about stuff that no one cares about and it's bombing, then everyone gets really mad. And so that was my cheat. Was like, I'm gonna try to say something interesting in here, and then I'll add the jokes on later. And so TikTok was basically the same thing. Was I was like, I'm not funny at this. I don't know how to do TikTok yet, but I have this large collection of things that I like telling people at parties to annoy them. Unfun Facts was like one of my first series that did really well, because it's like the kind of thing I like is an interesting fact that bums people out just a little bit, but not so bad that they don't want to talk to me ever again, you know? So so I started making videos like that. And so it turns out that that's like the perfect energy for TikTok. This is totally luck for me, but it turns out everyone is on social media. They want to be mad. That's a big, that's the bulk of social media, stuff trying to make you mad. But they also want to feel okay afterwards so that they come back. And so if I make you mad about what happens to spiders when you put them outside, then you're like, oh, I'm mad, but I'm still with you. I'll come back. I'll see what you say tomorrow. So I got the I got the anger that keeps you subscribed and makes you come back, but also you're going to be safe. So I just lucked into this corner of TikTok that works really well.
You're absolutely right about that. Your TikTok is a reflection of yourself. And I would say that you're in my good part. So,
okay. If you want to really test a relationship, people go through my texts. Let's look at each other's algorithms for 5 minutes. Let's see if we're still friends.
Yeah.
Are we doing that now?
Why do you have a bunch of cosplay girls in your TikTok algorithm?
Some of them are not bad. They're just genuinely guilty pleasures. If there's a guy on TikTok live who's unloading a coal train, I'll be like, I'll watch this for a little while. I don't know. There's something about that kind of work that anyway, that's embarrassing, but it's not the worst part of the internet.
I've got a lot of cleaning rugs.
Oh, cleaning rugs is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. When they have to throw it in a pool because it's that dirty, and then the power washing. Oh, what a great time. I love a guy mowing a bad lawn for somebody.
Oh,
for free.
Yeah. Guy that fixes all those terrible lawns is great. Oh.
And I didn't know I liked lawn mowing, but there's something about it.
Driving around Atlanta with my job, I'm in the service industry, so I drive into a lot of neighborhoods. I've seen in the last year six lawn mowing things going on with camera people on them.
Yes. I mean, that makes perfect sense, right? This is everybody, if you find one thing that works, there'll be 100 people knocking it off, and then a week later, and wow, there's way more money in camera based lawn mowing than lawn mowing for money. Exactly. Let's all get into it. Let's do charity lawn mowing. And that's not the worst thing that's ever happened to the world. It's just weird.
Yeah.
And because I was weird enough to start looking at Sora 2, I got that.
Oh, no.
And I saw some of these are funny at first, but a lot of that stuff gets real boring really quickly and very repetitive. But I started, I'm going to make one of me doing something stupid. But now my TikTok feed is all of that, and my Instagram Reels feed is all that. Yeah. So I got to purge it somehow.
Well, and I tell people this a lot. As someone who makes most of my living on the social media apps, people come up to me and they'll say things like, oh, everything I see is terrible and it makes me feel bad except for what you're doing or something like that. That makes me sound like I'm pulling a compliment. But my point was that everything sucks on there. And if that's true, you can fix it. And I think that's important to remember. It's good at telling what you like because of what you hovered on. But you can also do that on purpose, where you're like, I think this video is boring, but I do want more videos like it. So I'm going to stick this one out for 30 more seconds and hit like and then move on. Or I kind of want to see this because it's fun, but you know what? I don't want the whole algorithm to be this. I'm gonna swipe it hard so that the phone feels it and knows that I don't want this anymore. You have more control over your algorithm than you think.
Can't you reset your algorithm?
You can reset it, and a fun exercise. You can also create burner accounts and have them be slightly different algorithms. So I did this as an experiment a little while ago to see how quickly could I make a TikTok that was all one thing. So I created a new burner TikTok account, and I just picked rabbits as an arbitrary something sweet that would not be hard. It took me less than 20 minutes to make the, without searching, just yes and no videos. I got an algorithm that was all rabbits within a half hour.
Wow.
And all it was I was just like, this is an animal. We'll watch the whole animal video. We'll like it. This is not an animal. No. And then once it was mostly animals, I was like, is this closer to a rabbit or further away? So it was like, cat is close to a rabbit, horse too far away, no horses. And I just kept doing that until I got, and it was all rabbits. So you can reset your algorithm, or have, this is one algorithm that I look at when I'm stressed out and I want to just see bunnies. And then this is my algorithm when I need to learn something about the world and be angry. And you can have like your, use your Finsta, you can use your pervert account instead of using it for stalking people.
How do you know I have one of those?
You can use it for like a calming pervert account. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Well, slow, it happens motion. Fast too.
Yeah.
Like if I'm trying to fall asleep, I'm watching different videos because I don't really want to be engaged. I want to be relaxed.
Yeah.
And that happens within 20 minutes. I'm seeing all those same like videos that would relax me.
Yeah, it's really powerful. But you get to choose that. And then in a different, and if you have different accounts, you can switch. It really helps to have like, know that you're in control of it instead of just like letting the algorithm drive.
I don't know that I could sleep if the videos kept changing all the time without me having to swipe on them. I don't think I could sleep to that. But I do go to sleep to stand-up comedy all the time.
Do you? Oh.
Yeah. A lot
mixed
of different
feelings about that.
One time I met Todd Barry in person, I said, you know, I really love all of, I have all of your albums, and I do, back when you could buy them. And I said, I like going to sleep to them. He goes, oh, that's cool. That makes me sleepy. And I didn't mean it that way, but I do. I always have, even when I was a kid, I would listen to Carlin to go to sleep or put it on TV.
That is very strange. Like Todd is a perfect answer for that because his voice is like that. Mm-hmm. But man, if somebody told me I listened to you to go to sleep, I don't know that that would feel like a compliment. I'm happy. Sleep is really hard. If you find something that works, go for it. But
well, currently,
none of us got into the business because we hoped to put you to sleep.
Well, only if I've watched the special already. I listened to Dusty right. Slay to go to sleep because he's got a calming voice and he talks like this. But there are certain comics you can't go to sleep to. Like
right. Also, if it was the first time where there's surprises, that would be
yes.
You're talking yeah. about where you already know what's happening. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, if I've heard it a million times. And I listen to them so much, and then I get all the jokes memorized, and then I have to force myself to never use any of these jokes because sometimes they come into your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's also, yeah, you fell asleep to something. You don't remember that you heard it. And then a month later, you're like, I have the yeah. best joke about airplane food.
You're like, yeah. We're having a good time.
Yeah, made the mistake of putting my son to bed listening to Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And now
yeah, your son can't get any respect.
He walks around the schoolyard doing yeah. Rodney Dangerfield all the time. He says, I don't know where
you're very relatable from. To the other children. They're like, oh, yeah, my wife is kind of mean.
I'm 54 and I have a 4-year-old, and I made him this mix.
Wait, what did you say?
Yes, it's very, and my bad.
Sorry, there's just math involved that it was really interesting. Can you do?
Yes. And I have a music mix. He likes to listen to songs in the car. It's sort of a Dr. Demento-ish, but it's novelty. It's this and that. And he really loves, for some reason, Groucho Marx songs. So he's walking around in his school singing Lydia the Tattooed Lady and things like that. So
I don't know that you're giving him the best chance at life.
He was walking around.
This cannot be good for his social skills.
He was the other day by himself in the living room humming, I'm again. No, Captain Spaulding. Hooray for Captain Spaulding. Okay. Yeah.
I was listening to Weird Al before I listened to the music he was parroting. So like there was a lot of songs that I thought it was the way my brain worked in like fifth grade was that Weird Al wrote songs and then other people made boring parodies of them.
So non-funny parodies.
Yeah, exactly. Like why did they turn this into being about their lives? That's boring. But it wasn't the greatest way to meet other kids is all. Like it worked out okay for me, but that's a weird thing you're doing.
Yeah. But he'll be well-rounded.
I guess maybe.
What do you mean you don't like Ethel Merman?
Yeah, right. He's going to find a perfect weirdo to hang out with later. That'll be great.
Force feeding your children your nostalgia. Yeah, that always works. Yeah.
No, I don't. Hey, if you didn't like it, we skip. That's the honest to goodness thing.
I wanted to talk about your Halloween costume idea.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm searching. We do like a big Halloween thing every year, and right now we don't know what to be. I don't know how to include your Halloween costume in what my family's going to do, but it's genius.
I appreciate that so much. I've never been good at costumes, but I do like thinking of things that would be upsetting. And so this is the first year I've tried. Like, I came up with an idea that I genuinely think would work. Like, the physics of this would work. I think the scare of this would work. But I'm not going to do it. And I'm on the road the next couple weeks. I'm not going to have a chance to try it. So this is my first time crowdsourcing. Like, I'm going to put this out there. I'm giving you the idea. And we'll see if people make it. And hopefully in a couple weeks, I'm going to have a compilation of like 10 different people who tried this idea and how crazy it worked. This is an idea for someone who is answering the door to trick-or-treaters, playing a scare joke on them. So it's taking a doll, a baby doll, and putting their head on a long piece of pipe that's the same color as the doll. And then you put it in the front pack, like you have a little baby, and you're rocking it when they come in. And you're like, oh, shh, I'm this is trick-or-treater, it's going to be okay, shh. And then you push the pipe up so the head slowly comes up on the doll, and then it turns and looks at you really suddenly. I think that would be so creepy.
Yeah.
And this happened, like, this started because, like, I was just, like, hanging out with my wife, and I, you know, we'll get bored, and we'll ask a weird question or something. Like, we were just having a nice day, and she was like, if you had to go to a haunted house and work there, what would you do? What would your scare be? And so then we just spent the next hour trying to come up with the craziest thing you could do at a haunted house, and I love this idea. And I thought of the part of the physics would be, you do the old trick where you, like, put a glove, and you tape it to your sleeve, but then you put your arm inside the sleeve,
yeah.
So it looks like your other hand is on the back of the baby, but you have a hand free to move the head. Like, I can see the physics of this working. And something about just if you're like acting, if you're good at acting, like you're shushing this baby and then the head starts to move up when you're not expecting it, it would be so off-putting. So it's not a full costume. It's just like a scare prank. And I had enough people respond that they were going to try it. So I hopefully I'm going to have a video, like a compilation in a couple weeks of like, here's 10 different people scaring the crap out of kids who visited them with a baby that turns around and looks at them all of a sudden.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, me too.
Are there still neighborhoods where kids go knock on the door and trick or treat? Because in mine, everybody puts a table in their garage or in their driveway.
And just lets kids take from the bowl?
Yeah. It's a neighborhood trick or treat. We have, you know, a long street and two cul-de-sacs at the end. So everybody just walks around and they, you know, you interact, you talk to your neighbors and it's done before dark. I remember going, it was dark when I went trick or treating and you did mischief and people opened their door and they had elaborate setups inside their homes.
This sounds actually sweet, though. Like, people are just like, this now sounds like you got a neighborhood vibe going on. That doesn't sound that bad.
No, it's great. But it's not an opportunity to, like, scare the hell out of people. It's not
It would work great if you guys were, like, four of you standing around the driveway, yeah. And, you know, candy. You're talking to the other parents. You got a kid, a baby, and you're like, shh, oh, it's okay. Like, that would work great.
Yeah. Yeah. You could still pull it off. Yeah.
Then you could pull it off on the other parents, which is better than scaring kids, I think, morally.
Yeah, I think so.
Not as funny to watch, but morally speaking is good. Yeah, that would be perfect for that. I don't know what last year was my first year living in a neighborhood where people did any trick-or-treating, and I had been, like, waiting my whole life for the opportunity to give candy. Like, I was so excited about it, and it was, like, pretty sparse. So there were some, but it was, like, I don't know, maybe 25 all night. Like, it was really not very crowded, and we're in a lovely neighborhood. So I wonder if the whole trick-or-treating is on the decline, or if everyone's just busing the kids to the richest neighborhood so they get the biggest candy.
Probably.
I think you're popular. Right about that, because my neighborhood that I live in, there's not a lot of trick-or-treaters. So we'll go to the house that I know passes out candy before, and it's not because we need to go to the richest neighborhoods, but we go to the places that have actual trick-or-treating.
Like, yeah. That makes total sense. And then once everyone does that, those neighborhoods are more fun. The other ones are worse. And so it just gets more and more. Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of moms that won't go trick-or-treating on Halloween night that only do trunk or treats.
Yeah.
That's boring, too.
It's so boring.
I'm not a fan of that. Like, I go trick-or-treating on Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, I as long as it's a nice vibe and everybody is, like, getting a lot of candy, I think it's probably okay. I don't want to be like, when I was a kid, it was different. But, like, I did, like, always look forward to the opportunity to be on the other side of that bowl and, like, seeing all the kids' costumes and talking to the parents. Like, it is so lovely that I would be sad if it turned into just cars in one parking lot.
That first time when you know that there's going to be a bunch of people coming to your door and you can hand it out, that is a thrill. I remember that.
Yeah, and I live near my sister, and so, like, we did a lot of decoration together, and then we had a couple of the adults get together. We were sitting on the driveway, and we were like, yeah, we had candy, we had favors for the adults. Like, it was so nice, and I just wish it was a little bit busier.
I think that the more you do it, I was going to say my parents, they, that now that they don't have to take their kids trick-or-treating, they do like decorations and like scary sounds and like smoke machines.
Yeah.
And it took a couple of years, but that's the house that people will travel to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, get the candy. Look, so it's like the more you do it, the more you'll be like, no, there's a good house down the
street. You got to put your time in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, it's tough because LA, like every scenic designer in the world lives here. Yeah. I mean, you guys have stolen a bunch of them, but a lot of scenic designers live here. And so they like set up, and there are some, there are like houses that seem like they make a full-time living on donations from there. Like there's a house in Burbank that we went to last year that has like 12 full-time actors at the house in front of it as part of the display. And then there's like food stalls that set up outside, like selling like bacon wrapped hot dogs, take advantage of the crowds. Like it's insane what's available here. So the level you have to play at to like attract kids away from the other neighborhoods here is just more than I'm willing to do.
Yeah. You got to be in a different tax bracket to be able to do that. Yeah.
And like you're trying to get a job at Disney, you're not trying to impress the kids. Like every, all the good houses here have an Instagram account. That is how insane the Halloween stuff is here. Is that it'll be like, oh, this is Burbank Clown House. You'll go to, you know, please follow us. Like that, they're all trying to grow that way. It's crazy.
Back to the, I wanted to ask you the question about TikTok. How much does TikTok help your sales when you're going to a city to do a run of shows?
I mean, look, before TikTok, no one came to see me on purpose. Now people do. So like it helped 100%. It helped all of the people who come to see me now on purpose know me from TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
The weird thing about what I do is because I do sort of like funny but like semi-educational content, but like with some swear words, like I do a weird thing that is not stand-up. I have a pretty good number of followers now on the platforms. If they had followed me just for stand-up, I would sell 100 times more tickets. I would sell so many tickets because you'd be like, oh, the guy who I like doing stand-up, I'm gonna go see him do stand-up. No one watches my video and is like, I should see if he does live shows in Atlanta. Like it just doesn't happen,
right? And
also, you guys all know, if you've seen comedy now, if you go to see somebody at a club who is famous on TikTok for a thing that is not stand-up, the show's gonna suck.
Yes.
Like you should not do that. They're going to show a couple of their videos. They're going to do a Q&A. It's going to be rough. And no one's going to see that person twice because it's going to be like, oh, we saw them there in the same room. I did stand up for 15 years before I ever did TikTok. So the people who come to see me for my scam videos, then like they see me do stand up. They're like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. This was stand up like a professional stand up person. Like, so I am the evening I provide is a pleasant surprise. That's what I'm selling. It is, you didn't know this is what I did. You came here on it. You took a chance on me. This is better than you were hoping. And that's very satisfying, but it's not the same number of tickets as if it was obvious that I was doing the thing that I do on the internet. So
right.
I do have to bank shot in. I am like, I have to explain to people that I do stand up and that it's going to be okay. And that takes some extra work. So it helps sales, but also like, the thing about TikTok, especially, I can't make a video that's like, hey, I'm coming to Atlanta. No one will watch that. You would swipe. Right. Like, that'll get 10 views. Whereas if I tell you, you know, the story of Bass Pro Shops, that'll get a million views. Like, whatever. Like, that's a different thing. And so it's hard to market. And you can't put in the middle of a Bass Pro Shop video, by the way, I'm doing stand-up in Atlanta. Like, that doesn't make any sense either. So the it is a marketing bank shot, I will say. But it is also the only reason I have a career. And so that is kind of interesting.
Hmm. And I ask, the reason I'm always curious about stuff like that is because I've been in radio since, well, 2000, but doing on air really since 2005, 20 years, whatever. And every Friday, Thursday, Friday, there were comics who would come on the old FM show.
Right.
And that was the way everything worked. Okay. I got to get up at 6 a.m, 7 a.m, go do this radio show and, you know, try to drive ticket sales. That sort of changed now because a lot of comics, most comics, don't need to do it. Whether they have a big enough following, or they have a podcast, or they go on, you know, all the different podcasts. So it's just curious to me, you know, the way radio has sort of become way less important for that.
That happened to you.
That's okay. That's okay. I still do comics every now and then on my weekend show that I do and just promote them ahead of time. But it's a different dynamic now, and I think it's cool that everybody can have their own sort of identity or. I can't say the word content, a platform for creativity. That way I don't have to say content.
I mean, the thing that's great about it is that the people who come to see me you know, I hang out afterwards and I sign things and when I take pictures, every single person who comes up to me after a show is the nicest person I've ever met. And I feel like I would enjoy hanging out with them. So what that means is I have found like the niche on the internet where the people who are watching me are people who like the things that I do and are going to like the things that I try doing. And I'm going to like them. And that feels like I'm putting out a genuine version of me. If I like them, if I like the people who like what I'm doing, that means we're like, I'm being myself pretty well on the internet. So that is very, very, very comforting. If I went on a morning radio show on a Friday and I was super wacky and funny and a bunch of people came to see me, I might like some of them. And like, maybe they just like person who is funny for 10 minutes on the radio. I mean, it's amazing that people are good at that. And I really respect that skill set, but that like, it's a different kind of person who comes to see it. So right. Like people have, same thing with people who have podcasts, like you go, podcast people sit in the audience and be like, hey, how's your cat? But they know the cat's name. Like, it's a different kind of content. It's a different kind of show where they connect with you already. And it allows the kind of creativity on stage that I think is like really, really, I'm lucky to be able to do. I get to be silly in a way that I wouldn't if I was performing for somebody else's radio fans. Mm-hmm. I get to perform in a way, I can be referential to stuff that I've done before. Like, there's a buy-in that's just very, very sweet. And I am very lucky to have that. And that was not something I set out to do. This has just happened. And so like, I feel like very fortunate to have that to the extent that I do already.
And to what you said, when the first couple of comics to start doing podcasts, this is years ago, that if I didn't listen to their podcast, but I knew who they were, and I would go to the show, half of the show would be about the podcast, and everybody in the audience was in on the joke, and I didn't know anything they were talking about. So I was sort of like, oh, I don't like this. This is boring. But I knew this person was funny. So,
But the same thing was always true with, like, if you saw somebody from Mad TV, people would yell out the Mad TV character line that they want them to say. Like, there's always going to be – and the podcast, like, they connect with you for more than a character someone else wrote. So I think it's the same thing, but it's evolved in a way that is – it can be really, really beautiful. Also, like I said, TikTok people are not funny sometimes, and that's bad for the whole industry. But
Well, that's like when Norm MacDonald kind of told me to shut up because I kept saying SNL lines the first time I saw him.
Well, good for him. You should shut up. That's
I learned my lesson. I was drunk, so I mean that was my.
Well, that being said, and you've got, you know, a large amount of views coming in with those people that do connect with you, there's always that large chunk of trolls or people that just talk shit. What's your normal? Did you just ignore them? Do you have a set way to handle your trolls? Or
I'll be honest, I don't get that many trolls, man. I don't know if it's what I'm doing, the way I'm structured, the kind of stuff that I'm doing. I am in a like,
that's
like
great.
I said, I like to make you a little mad, but not like super duper mad. So I'm not getting people like your response is usually not to be mad back at me because of the stuff I'm doing. And it is like educational. So the trolls that I get, not even trolls, but the people who are mad at me in comments will be like, you said on accident, it's supposed to be by accident and on purpose. Like the people who are mad at me are mad at me. And I got to be like, look, I'm an I'm actually guy. That's my living. I can't be mad at you. I'm actually-ing me. Yeah. You know, every once in a while I'll say something offhanded about like, I don't think the TikTok dogs who press buttons really know what they're saying. And then I'll get a lot of talking dog fans who will be mad at me. But I don't have like general haters. Like people mostly just like are interested or not. And if they're interested, they're like in the world enough. So I mean, I don't have to ignore it. It mostly does not happen.
That's great.
I'm very, very fortunate. Obviously, if I was a woman, it would be different. If I was political, it would be different. Like there's a lot of things that I could do that would like open me up to more of that. But man, people mostly in my comments are super duper nice also. And that's part of it too is I'm generally trying to be nice. Like I'll delete comments if you're a certain kind of annoying because I don't feel like you get to be saying if you don't believe science things, if you're going to tell me the world is actually flat or whatever, I'm going to delete that. There's plenty of places on the internet you can go be stupid. You don't have to be stupid. You don't get to be stupid on my page. This is where my people hang out. I want and I want people who like my videos, if they scroll through the comments, to have a good experience also. So I like comments that have the vibe that I want to cultivate in the comments, and I will delete stuff if it's shitty. And one thing I will not tolerate is I don't let people in comments be mean to each other. So if I see people in the comments starting fights with each other, I'll just delete both of them and not let you be there, because I don't think there needs to be more of that. So mostly in my comments, if you flip through them, generally, especially the top chunk, is people playing the game. They're riffing, they're having fun. Like, they'll riff on the thing I had. They'll, like, for the hot Halloween costume video, like, there's a bunch of people suggesting physical changes to make it scarier, like ways you could manipulate the design. Like, people are playing along. So
yeah, right.
I have made this corner of the internet that is largely pretty nice, and that is the kind of people I want to hang out with. And so, like, that's, like I said, that's who comes to the show, that's who's in the comments most of the time, that's and awesome. That's where I want to spend my time. So I don't have to go away to the bunnies every night because I got these people who are nice
that's
to me
great though comments. That's awesome. So great that you took the time, you take the time to make that, you curate it for yourself, for your own happiness, but also the user's experience, which is, you know, you can't do that on, oh well, there's a lot of apps you can't do that on. You can't do that on X, for example.
Yeah, I'm not putting a lot of effort into the X comment.
No, there's no point. If you're not actively engaging people to argue with them, you're not going to get any engagement on that. Right. On that. And it used to be much different, but we all like what you do very much.
Do you have a couple of accounts that you recommend following?
Yeah.
Maybe comics or other people that you really enjoy on TikTok?
Such a great question. Well, right now, I mean, the main thing that I'm following on TikTok, it's Spooky Lakes Month. So if you're not already familiar with her, you have to follow Spooky Lakes Month. I'm seeing one what nod and three not. Okay. So Spooky Lakes Month is a... I don't even think she's actually a scientist, but she's like an artist and a writer, and she's brilliant. But she does every day for October, she tells you the story of a lake where people
we have one here, Lake Lanier.
Lake Lanier, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure she's done a Lake Lanier video at some point, because she's been doing this for like 6 years. But now it's like, it's, and she's done it for long enough that like it's oceans that are spooky too. But it's just like creepy things that happen in water. I don't, it's the weirdest thing that this is so good, but it's so good. So she's like, she's an excellent writer and curator of the stories, but like, she's just going to talk about spooky things that happen in lakes, and it happens every October, and everybody freaks out, and it's great. It's like a really a super interesting thing to be hanging out with. And that's – it is the kind of thing where I'm like, I'm learning something from you. Your sense of humor is right for me. We're not getting mad about things. Like, it's that's right in my sweet spot, too. So I love spooky lakes.
Is she Geode Soros?
Yes, yes, yes. Geo Rutherford is her name. She's name. She's an artist and a writer and does a bunch of other stuff, but she got famous for Spooky Lakes, and it's great.
We're also on this episode talking about it is spooky season, Halloween season. Is there do you have a go-to Halloween movie that you watch every year? Maybe you and your wife like both at the same time, or something that you've always enjoyed that you like, a tradition you watch every year?
So our tradition, so we do not like horror movies, my wife and I, but our tradition has been to watch one thing to scare the pants off ourselves on Halloween. And we've done this for several years. And this is probably like, this is the most I've ever felt hurt by her. At some point a few years ago, it turns out she loves horror movies. I thought we were in this together, and she switched. And so it grew from one, and we were both scared, to now it's like four that I have to sit through, and she's kind of enjoying it. So that has been getting like, so the tradition now is that I say, let's do one movie. And she says, what if it was two? And then it's five. That's our new tradition. And mostly what we've been doing is trying to do like more classic horror things. Like all the big 80s slasher movies that we didn't get to see as kids, but also like the tier that is made not just horror fans but regular movie fans really like has gotten in. But I hate all of them. I wish this didn't have to happen. I like a spoopy movie, you know, like I like a movie like a Disney Halloween movie.
I like
Hocus Pocus, the best. It's the perfect example. It's goofy. It's fun. It's got the Halloween thing. But, you know, like, yeah, no one's getting stabbed. Anyway, that's more my speed. But the tradition is just me saying let's fewer and her saying more and she wins.
Yes. That's good.
No, but the child's soul is getting sucked out of their body. Nobody's getting stabbed, but
that's true. That is true. And there's a lot. There's enough. I can handle it. But or like a Casper. I'd suggest a Casper for, you know, where he's cute and he's a ghost. That's fine. Mm-hmm. What's another spoon?
And then he turns into Devon Siwa.
Which I think actually is the reason why she liked it as a kid, but now is weird. I don't understand why it's fun for people to be scared. I don't get that part. That's not, my body is not wired that way. Let's watch something funny. We don't need this. Why is this good for us?
Yeah, there are good horror comedies, but the gratuitous one was, what's the one, Dustin, with that stupid clown? That's just, there's no story. It's just this clown killing.
Terrifier?
Yeah, there's no point to those movies. I watched those. I'm like, what is this?
I couldn't even get through that movie. I was like, this is just stupid.
It's just gore porn.
Fortunately, that's not her thing either. So, she's like, she looks up lists of classic horror movies that everybody agrees are actually very good. You know, we watch The Shining or whatever, and I'm like, okay, this is way too scary for me. Let's keep the lights on, but also, like, I can see what's going on, and it's good work.
Death Becomes Her, which is horror comedy.
I would say, pretty spoopy. That's one where their limbs fall off, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. That was super funny. That I can handle that. That was a good time. There's a musical. Have you seen the musical yet?
I haven't. My niece just went. She was up in New York last week, and she saw it.
And did she have a good time?
She had a great time, because I was watching the movie last week, because it just had come out on Netflix again. It was streaming on Netflix, and I had texted her. I was like, hey, have you ever watched Death Becomes Her? And she was like, ironically enough, I just saw it
on Broadway
in the theater tonight.
Of all the things to pull, like, this weird 80s horror comedy that I had not heard much about, and then all of a sudden it's on Broadway. People are delightful sometimes. What a weird choice. Good job, everybody.
Punchline.com for tickets, and tell everybody where to find you on the various socials and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, my name's Alex Falcone, like the Batman villain. And if you, I sometimes there's an underscore, sometimes there's not. I can't remember which is which. But if you know how the internet works. If you look for Alex Falcone, you'll find me. If you look for Is It a Scam? Yep, you'll find me. If you look for Unfun Facts, you'll find me. You know, like, I'm around. You'll figure it out.
Well, nice. We appreciate you taking the time tonight to talk with us and have some fun. We certainly all had a great time.
This is more fun than if I had to wake up at 5 a.m. to go to your radio station and talk for 6 minutes before the traffic and weather together. So thank you for doing it this way instead.
Traffic and weather together on the fives. We got the very funny Alex. Hey, can you hang on? Stick around with us for the break.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we got the
I'm sorry
star.
That this hurts me so much and it was your career.
Brent has wonderful sponsors, and I'd like to talk about our most recent sponsor. That is the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia. They have great comedy all the time. You can go to punchline.com and find out your favorite local comedians are going to be there, what kind of showcases they have going on, and of course every weekend they have a headliner, and you can get a nice meal right there at the Landmark Diner and a gigantic hunk of cake or pie, whatever floats your boat, but they do have good food. Coming up at the Punchline, comedian Jeff Dye appearing October 24th through the 26th. Alonzo Bowden returns. He'll be there November 7th through the 9th. Leslie Lau will be there the 14th and the 16th of November, and also the 15th. And then from November 20th through the 22nd, comedian Josh Sneed. And I do believe Josh Sneed will be joining us on a future episode of this podcast. So that'll be awesome, too. For tickets and information, go to punchline.com. And this week, be looking for... Well, if you're a Patreon member, look for it. How you can win a pair of tickets to see an upcoming show at the Punchline.
Is views.
Or.
And snooze.
Views.
Let's do views for snooze.
Yeah, last week we didn't do one because you had your freaking kidney stone. But it would have been Play Dirty, that Shane Black movie on Prime, which was really good. I enjoyed it very much. It's like one of those 70s, 80s caper movies.
Yeah,
the soundtrack's really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And Monster, the Ed Gein story, which I watched the first one.
I finished it, guys.
You watched the entire thing?
I watched the entire thing.
How did you stay in that voice for six or eight episodes?
It's so awful. And now, and like, me and Jones can't stop talking to each other like that.
I'm just trying to say hello to the lady. What's wrong about that?
I killed my brother with a log.
Thing is he didn't really kill his brother.
I know. First of all, it's a lot of it is bullshit, but I couldn't take it. I could not take the voice, and it's ridiculous. But, you know, as always, what's her face from Roseanne is great. Lori, yeah. What's her name? Lori.
Lori Metcalf.
Yeah, I could have done without seeing her bush, but.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm gonna
keep watching, Tim.
I'll see it on TikTok.
All right. So this week, All right, John Candy, I Like Me. This is the Colin Hanks documentary that he made about John Candy. I don't think this is the same one that Ryan Reynolds did that Dan Pasternak is touring around, but this one comes on Prime on the 10th.
It is the same one.
It's the same
it
one.
It is? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah,
Ryan Reynolds just put up the money for it, so he's executive
producer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was the same one or not. And then on the 12th, The Chair Company starts on HBO Max.
This looks funny.
The new Tim Robinson show. Can't wait for that.
Looks good. And it says that he's supposed to be like finding a conspiracy after he suffered a humiliating incident at work.
Yeah.
That is every Tim.
Yeah.
It's every one of his shows are like.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then My Father, the BTK Killer, to keep it spooky for Halloween. That comes out on the 10th on Netflix.
I never really got into the BTK Killer.
No, the guys from last podcast on the left hate him. They just say he's a bitch.
Oh, that's a good podcast, by the way. I'd never listened to it before you sent to me about
the David one.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our staff picks. Jeff, you can go first.
Yeah, I watched 28 Years Later on Netflix. I liked it. A lot of people are saying they don't like the ending.
Why not? Don't spoil it.
The ending to set up future stuff. They could make more.
Well, I hear there's a lot of zombie dong in it.
there is some dong.
That's been in all three of them now. But they already made the next movie. It's already done and coming out in January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's why it ends that way, because there's already another one set up. It's called Bone Temple, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Zombie dong, Bone Temple. It all connects.
It's not going to be 28 decades later.
No. Yeah, 20 decades later, 280.
Let's see. Mine is the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean, I know it's kind of cliche at this time of year, but it's the 50th anniversary.
Yes.
It's as old as I am, because we both came out in the same year.
I'm older than it, and Jeff is the oldest of all.
But yeah, I was, that to me, it's one of those things that I was in the cast in East Tennessee for a year and a half.
Were you Rocky?
When I was 15, I was Rocky. Yeah.
Oh, 15? You were running around in a loincloth when you were young?
I was running around in gold Speedos.
Yeah, that's a different time.
But yeah, it's available on everything. But the 50th anniversary, they just came out with a companion interview with the remaining cast, minus Riff Raff, Richard O'Brien, which was the writer. Not sure why he wasn't involved, but he's always been kind of standoffish when it comes to publicity for this for some reason.
I remember when it came out on VHS for the first time and everybody went and bought it or rented it. And it's a fun movie. You can just sit and watch it. You don't even need to be interactive with it. I mean,
I remember when that happened too. And it was kind of there was a big hubbub because people were like, you're not supposed to see it that way. You're supposed to see it in the theater and as part of it, but it still works. It's a great movie. And the new 4K edition is amazing. So it really looks nice.
And you can still go see it in the theater.
Yeah, it's still running today.
In college, I had friends that would play it at home, but act it out in front of the TV screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We did that, too.
I watched Death Becomes Her the other day. Me and Al did, actually. It popped up on Netflix. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I remember that movie being really funny, but it is so much more funny than I remember it being.
No, it is a funny movie.
The comedic acting in it is great. Bruce Willis is great in it. We were both dying laughing, so...
Yeah, he's always been a great comedy actor, and people don't give him enough credit for being a comedy actor.
Meryl Streep's great in it, too. I mean, they all are great, but just like, I don't know, looking at it with an adult eye for comedic acting now, I'm like, wow, they're really good.
I can't wait till Gil will sit and watch a movie, because there's so many things I want to sit and watch with him. He doesn't have the temperament for it now. He did watch Superman from the 78 one with me.
Oh, that's cool. Did he watch the whole thing?
Uh-huh. We had to do it over 2 weeks. He did it once.
But he still watched the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He's going to who's going to fix the helicopter, Daddy? That's my favorite takeaway. So he asked if Superman's going to fix it. Well, I have a couple. The first one, it's because of my health-related issues. I've been a little behind on my spooky season movie watching, but I kicked it off last night by watching Phantasm from 1979, which is the first horror movie I ever saw in a movie theater. And I was with this other kid named Mark. This was in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. So our parents let us go see this movie, Phantasm, which opens with a nude scene or a sex scene in a cemetery. And that the woman in that movie who played that lady, you know what I'm talking about? That scene is Kathy Lester. She was the lady in Lavender, which was the female. It was the female embodiment of the tall man, Angus Scrimm, playing the tall man, of course, the funeral director. That movie to me holds up. It's very 70s. It's very dark. But you had Reggie Bannister as Reggie, A. Michael Baldwin as Mike, who I'd love to get on this show sometime. Bill Thornbury as Jody, and just a cast of people that have, you know, done a lot of different things, horror movies and gone on. But A. Michael Baldwin has had quite a successful career. But that ball and the tall guy and the little space Jawas and the cemetery field, that movie scared the piss out of me. And the reason I remember it so well, seeing it in the theater, was A, I was 9, and B, I had to poop during that movie, and they didn't have any toilet paper, so I had to use a Snickers wrapper.
So I remember absorbent.
Traumatizing.
Being a kid and seeing that movie, it's just stuck with me all those years, Phantasm. And so I watched it again, like I said, last night. And I think it holds up. It's a scary movie. I kind of want to watch the rest of the movies, but I'm also trying to get through all of the Halloweens. And that means I'm going to watch the first Halloween, the 1978, and then I'm going to watch the other 13. Except for Rob Zombie's, because we're going to talk about that next week. But that movie stinks. Both of those movies stink. But we're going to talk about all the Halloween movies before the end of the month. And the other sort of, I'm not even going to recommend this anymore, the Sora 2 app. Dustin and I both have it. Jeff has it. I don't know. I got bored with it right away. And all the fun stuff that you could do with it, like with celebrities, it was pissing off some people. I don't mind doing like world leaders and politicians and stuff. But, you know, there are some very beloved celebrities like Robin Williams and people are making videos and sending them to her and sending them to his daughter and stuff. Nobody likes that. Dustin made the best ones out of all of us, I think.
I the thing about it, it's neat as far as the prompts, but you're right. They did today, I think, officially remove all copyright material. So anything that you're going to see with Sora now is going to be whoever's posting it.
Giving me a hard time just trying to put me and Tim in the video.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. It was giving me a hard time when I was doing Dungeon Crawler Carl stuff because I never mentioned the name at all. Boxer shorts with little hearts on them.
Yeah. Really?
It was too sexual. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That happened to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it's really weird. You have to like go through and then manipulate. But I mean, my prompt for some of those was like 3 paragraphs.
Wow.
But you're right. Unless you're using it for a specific purpose, it gets really boring really quick.
Yeah, I think I'm going to delete it, especially if I didn't pay any money for it.
Well, of course, Alistair wants it.
Right.
Because like, he's into that. And like, we have been working on like what your eye is seeing. Like, is that real or is it AI? You know?
Right.
And we had gotten to that point where he can pick out really quickly what AI is. And like, then he's like watching Stephen Hawking on a half pipe.
Skateboarding.
And he's like, that's not, is that real? That's See, not that real. It's like, though, damn it.
But that's the shit that's funny, and that's why people all came it to is, it, and it, now it, they got rid of all of it.
It is funny. I just think about how stressful it is to not believe what your eyes are seeing.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
And growing up in a world
TikTok
where
should
you
make a,
don't
a,
believe what your eyes are seeing.
TikTok should make a separate tab for AI shit.
Like I said, all those Jake Paul videos.
Those
like,
are great, but he allowed it, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he went on his own account and he was like, I have a lawsuit. Like, all these videos are really ruining like my relationships. And as he's talking, and this is real, so sort, he's putting on makeup.
Yeah. Hey, Radio Labyrinth has sponsors. In fact, we have 2 delightful sponsors I'd like to tell you about right now. The first one being our longest sponsor, Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the place to be, proudly serving you the best pizza and euros in the city. They're the place to be this fall. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Their featured selection for fall is Scofflaw Brewing's Oktoberfest. Come out and enjoy a tasty ice-cold brew and some fantastic food made fresh to order. And I can attest to that. Their food is amazing. I'm talking about some of the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays from noon to 9 p.m. And they are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia, and that's always fun, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Their food truck is also available. So if you're interested, call Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your private or corporate event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around. Thank you, Mike. And for all your business and continued support. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. If you'd like to become a Patreon member of this podcast, Radio Labyrinth, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews, and you can find out how to become a Patreon member. Don't forget, now you can't win tickets to see Alex, but you can go to Patreon after the show drops on Saturday, which is today, and there will be a post up there for a limited amount of time, and the instructions will be just, you know, say you're interested in going to a show, and then you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming show at the Punchline, which you can discuss with them. Well, we'll figure it out for you. Don't worry about it. But I'll put that post on today, Saturday, the... What day is this? Saturday, the 11th? Is that what that is? The 11th?
Yeah, Saturday, the 11th.
Saturday, the 11th. So check. Make sure you have notifications turned on your Patreon app, okay? Also, if you're following us and watching us on YouTube, remember to click like, subscribe, turn on notifications, comment. If you comment, then YouTube knows people are watching. Don't fight with people, but comment and have fun, engage, and, you know, comment and share and talk on all of our various apps. We have executive producer level as well. That's $25 a month. And yes, if you order a t-shirt, it's going to take like 7 years, so we're going to find a new t-shirt place. But if you're a $25 a month member, you're an executive producer and you get a credit each and every week. So let's thank our Patreon executive producers: The Walkman, John the Man Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and Chelsea Smith. Yeah, so that's all that. And if you're, you know, if you're if you like listening while you're walking and you're listening to one of the podcast apps and you have some free time, just go over to YouTube and subscribe and do all that stuff. But, you know, you can also leave us comments on those as well. We have more guests coming your way, more Halloween fun, more spooky season stuff in the next couple of weeks. But unless I'm forgetting anything, please remember to
keep it canon.
What do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.